terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
God's Word was birthed in this man. I didn't say he was the perfect dad, but he taught me this. The answer is found in the Word of God. So I tell this morning, and I looked at his scriptures for the guys in the back I didn't always preach it on, so it's not my fault.
I can't see it with my glasses. I can't see it without my glasses, but we're going to go ahead anyhow. Too much. I love the Word of God. I study the Word of God a minimum of 4 hours a day. My wife comes in and says, it's time. For what? To come out of the room. You got to do something else. And then a couple hours later, I'm back. Yep. And then she's calling me again. I love the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you this morning from the book of Mark about the storm. Mark 4:34. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ships, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Boy, that was a big pillow, wasn't it? And they woke him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, that's the scripture. Let's break it down a little bit. Starting again with verse 35. And the same day when it was evening, that's a little after 3 before sunset, because at sunset for the Jews starts another day. So they're at the tail end of their day. The disciples, and remember, it's not just the 12. You got the 70 that a couple weeks before that had been sent out. They had come back excited because the demons had to run and flee when they spoke. And Jesus had a hallelujah breakdown. The only time in the Word of God that, and the Word says that he was almost jumping up and down and shouting and praising God for the revelation that these people had that the kings and prophets of the Old Testament never knew. I'd have loved to have seen this guy that was known to be quiet and to cry once in a while, to see him have a hallelujah breakdown. That would have been awesome. And it probably was shocking to these guys. And now, as my son has told the children, he's been speaking all day. The disciples have been doing all those things that these people do around here to keep this thing going and to get the music and to get order and so forth. As you know, one time they had to break a crowd of some 30, 40,000 into groups of 50. You ever seen a group of 50 Christians get into one group without trying to bust over to the other group? or wanting to go with somebody else. So they've been busy all day. They're tired. All they're thinking about is supper and finding a place to lay down and rest for the night. And Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side." I can just hear Peter. What does he think we are? I'm beat. How does he keep going this way? And then it puts a tagline in here. And there with him other little ships. It amazes me how in Sunday school they show these little bitty boats with the 12 disciples in them. And Jesus. And I don't know how they get any boats smaller than that. These are not rowboats. Okay? Remember, Jesus has got his 12 guys. The women that usually are tagging along with them, that are fixing the food, setting up the camps, because when they travel, they're not staying in Motel 6. So every evening, they've got to prep meals and set up the camps and so forth. And then you've got the 70 disciples plus the 12. That's not a 20-foot boat. You've got a large, large, large ship. But you've got, probably got, I'll just guesstimating, 150 to 200 people on this boat. Then you've got a whole bunch of rowboats with people, 2, 4, 6 people maybe in it. And there arose a great storm of wind. Many times when we're in church, you have that main core group. They're with the pastor no matter what he does. All he has to say is, "Let's go." And they're with him, just as Jesus did here. But you've got all these little rowboats. These people that come to the church, but they're not part of the church. People that want the blessings that come in the church, but they're not giving to the church. They're not participating with the church. They're riding with them. The only problem with it is you got this large ship. If you've ever seen a large ship, it creates tremendous waves as it parts the water. You've got all these little rowboats that are trying to follow this large ship. They're fighting tremendously to keep control of the little rowboats. They're having difficulties. Spiritually, people that are hanging around the edge like that, when problems come, they sink. They both just get washed over. Now, you got to imagine now that you got this gigantic ship with 150 or 200 people on it, and a great storm rises unexpectedly. Now, I was reading of a missionary back in the early 1800s, who had gone to Israel. It wasn't called Israel then. It was called Palestine by the Romans. And he was camped on this other side that Jesus is going to. He and several others, they had 3 tents set up. It was hot. They hadn't had a bath. So he heads down to the Sea of Galilee with his soap, his towel, gets into the water, wades out about waist deep, goes down, soaps up, rinsing off, and all of a sudden, the waves are just crashing at him. And he looks around, and they're coming over the top of his head, and he looks up, and the sky has turned black. In less than 10 minutes, these storms can rise on the Sea of Galilee. He's fighting to make it to the bank. Barely gets there without being washed out into the sea. He gets to the tent, which is probably 10 yards from the bank. And the guys are holding on to their tents, trying to keep the wind that's coming off the lake, rushing up that gully, from tearing their tents up. They lost two of the three tents. That's what we're talking about here. Sometimes in the church, we're going along and we've had some good times. Things have gone good. But all of a sudden, a storm hits. Nobody's expecting a problem. Everything's been going great. Jesus has been ministering in the church, and it's just been wonderful how he's touched lives, and there's been victories and blessings have been poured out. When all of a sudden, it seems like the whole church is going to be destroyed. Suddenly, unexpectedly, trouble comes. Maybe just to your life. You're one of those in the rowboat. And all of a sudden, this wonderful thing you were hoping to be a part of, but just hadn't committed to, major disaster comes. Or maybe it is that the church is in this major disaster and you're trying to hold on to the side. Or you could even be the core group, as we have here, who are in the boat. And there arose a great storm of wind. The Greek here, and I don't speak Greek, it's laleps, is a wind that comes from every direction. So this is a tornado, a hurricane. We just had this storm hit the coast over here, but the winds came rushing at the beach and up onto the land. We had Matthew on the east coast. It wasn't so much the wind there as when the wind stopped. The ocean kept raging in, and it rushed up the river there in North Carolina for 20 miles, destroying things. 10-foot waves, 20 miles up the river after the storm. That's important for this story. In Matthew 8:24, it says, "Behold," as it describes this storm. This is another one of those spiritual attacks, what appears to be a normal thing that happens, a tornado, a hurricane hits, but not this one. This is not a natural phenomena. As Satan had shown up when Jesus Christ was born, and tried to kill and did kill all the little baby boys from 2 years old down. And then he showed up again and again. And throughout the ministry of Christ, when he first started, he took him up onto the temple and said, "I'll give you everything in this universe. It's all yours if you'll bow down and worship me." It was an attempt to stop him from accomplishing the mission God had called him to. Satan will show up in your life in what may appear a normal thing, trying to stop you from accomplishing that mission that God has for this church and you as an individual. And many times you will mistake the trouble that's come to your life as being that of a natural thing that occurs. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking, searching whom he may devour." In Alaska, a pack of wolves, usually about 15, sometimes 17, 18. There'll be one wolf come up behind the caribou. They panic. They start running. Wolf doesn't do a thing. He just keeps running alongside, kind of dropping back. then he'll drop off and another one will drop in behind where he was. The caribou keep running and they get tired. And then an old bull that's gotten weak begins to drop back. A young calf that was born that morning can't keep up yet, drops back. Then here they come, 14, 15 wolves in full power, full strength, and they take them out and they get the taste of blood. And then it doesn't matter whether it's the weak or the young. They just begin to kill. And they kill. And they keep running and following the caribou. And they'll kill. And they'll kill. And they'll have 10, 12, 14 caribou lying there dead. And then they'll pile up and gorge on the one. And all the rest are lying there wasting. Well, the bears get them and the coyotes get it. Satan is going around seeking whom he may devour. And he will pick off those on the outer limits. But then he's going to go for the strong ones. Because he gets a taste of blood. And he will seek to destroy. You got to remember, the men operating this boat are 7 commercial fishermen, professionals. All of you have watched these Discovery Channels up in the Bering Straits of the crab fishermen up there and the waves coming over them and it's freezing cold and the water coming as they bring the traps in with the crabs in it. Every year, not every once in a while, but every year, an average of 3 men die. These are professionals. These are guys that do it all the time. These men have been fishing on the Sea of Galilee since they were 5-6 years old when Dad took them out the first time. Peter, James, and John left Dad in charge. James and John's father was left in charge of the fishing fleet when they began to follow Jesus. So it's a commercial project. These are not weekend fishermen. They know how to do everything right. But the storm is more than they can handle. Many times we're going to have storms come into our life that are going to be greater than that which we can handle by ourselves. Or even when 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, Scripture says. But when the 2 or 3 of us, and we're still not getting the victory. 38, and he was in the hinder part of the back part of the sheet, asleep on a pillow. They woke him and said to him, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Now, they didn't say it like that. You know they didn't say it like that. I can see Peter because he's the one that's always, you do it, Pete. I ain't touching him. I'm not going to go up and tell him. You do it. And Pete goes up, Lord, wake up. Wake up, Lord. Don't you care that we're about to perish? We're going down. Don't you care? Now, I know you never talk to God like that. I have lain on the floor. I've laid in bed. I've walked the floor and pleaded with God to kill me for relief, for victory over the attack of the enemy. And I've yelled at God, "Why don't you do something? Why don't you help me? You promised. Your word says. Now, these guys are on a mission ordered by Jesus Christ. They're not doing their own thing. They're not guessing. Well, man, I hope this is God's will. They have a direct command. Let us go over to the other. Remember, here's the key. Us. God never tells you to do anything unless he's going to walk with you. That didn't stop me from saying, God, where are you? I don't see you. I don't hear you. I don't feel you. The only thing I've got is this, God, and it says you're with me. So where are you? That's what they're saying here. Who are you, Jesus? In our hour of need. Notice Jesus is with them. And everything went bad. People get the impression that if you're walking with Jesus and doing everything right, everything's going to go good. If Jesus is right there with you, man, nothing can go wrong. That's not what the scripture tells me. The enemy seeks to destroy those who are trying to obey God. He doesn't need to bother the guy over there selling crack. He's already got him. He's no problem to the devil, but you are. You're a danger. You're the enemy of Satan. He's trying to stop you from winning your neighbor to Jesus Christ, taking someone who belongs to him and turning them to Christ. He's trying to get you to not witness to that clerk at the grocery store, because one more person talks to her and she's going to say, that's it, I'm going to accept Christ. And he can't have you do that. And everything went bad. Don't you care? We're dying here. We're about to lose everything we owned. You see, this was probably Peter's boat. You notice several times that when Jesus went and wanted to use a platform to speak to the crowds, he picked Peter's boat and went on board Peter's boat. I got an idea this was Peter's boat. I can't prove it. It just makes sense that it would be Peter's boat. So Peter is about to lose probably his biggest ship of his fleet. He's about to lose the entire church. He's about to lose everything. Probably his wife and children were in that boat. Think about that. It isn't just Jesus and the guys. My wife is on this ship. If this church goes down, my wife and children are in this church. I can't let this church go down because my wife and my children are in this church. So Peter does what most of them were afraid to do. And he got up. Fighting. Now remember, the waves are crashing over the top of the ship. I was on the USS Mitchell going to Korea in the 50s, and they put us in a bosun's chair. I remembered what it's called. It's a bosun's chair. And they dropped us on a rope over the side, and they gave us a little chipping hammer. You got the main deck down here, and then you got another deck, and another deck. And then here's this big, tall part of the ship. And they drop me and my buddy over this, and we're there chipping paint, leaning against this. Of course, should we just push ourselves out for some fun? And then we notice something. The wind's picking up. Now, there was a sailor up on top that was supposed to be supervising us. Somehow or another, he got called away. This storm grew, and we turned around to kind of get a view of what was happening, and the whole horizon had turned black. And pretty soon, a ship with 6,000 soldiers, 2,000 civilians, and probably 1,500 sailors on it, guiding it, working it, handling it. That ship is rolling enough that when that thing would do that little bit of tilt, and I would swing out about 20 feet, and then it would slam me back into the wall. Somebody down below saw us and notified the Navy. And they finally got to us. By that time, we were both pretty beaten up. My buddy had a broken thumb. I didn't, but I was really in bad shape. We didn't have to pull any more duty that tour. I mean, when all we got to go is mess hall, get something to eat, and then slack out on a bunk the rest of the trip. But we're in a ship that big to carry that many people, and the storm, it was a hurricane, tornado, whatever, to get out there in the storms, and it was raging so full that the water, and I thought it was like 40 feet from the main deck down to the water. The waves were coming up onto the first deck. These waves on the Sea of Galilee are known in these storms to hit 60 feet high. This boat is not 40 feet up out of the water. These guys are holding on for life. And remember, if they've got their wives and children on there, they've probably got them lashed down. But remember, they've only had 10 minutes to get ready for this storm, because this storm hit suddenly without expectation. Don't you care, God, what's happening to us?
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.